Hello, 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 hello. Hi, people. How are y'all doing? How are you feeling? Are you feeling blessed? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling fulfilled? If not, are you on the path to it? You know what I'm saying? Happy, what's today? Happy Friday. It's been like 2 weeks since my last one because I got played. Okay, I got played. Inside of the app that I use for my podcast, I thought there was like a way that I could be like a little DJ. You know what I'm saying? They have a section on there where you can add songs, and it was only playing snippets. But then it was like, hey, if you got a Spotify Premium, then we'll let you use songs from your playlist on there. So I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe that perhaps means that it'll allow me to use full songs inside of my podcast. You know what I'm saying? So I was working on this, that podcast, that whole, so I'm gonna figure out a way to do a music show, but that whole thing was so dope. That shit was rocking. I'm telling you, it was bumping. It's so ridiculous that anyway, when it was playing it to me, there's a way to preview your podcast show, your episode, and it's supposed to be playing through what you're gonna hear, and it was playing me the full song, even though it had been playing a snippet before. It was playing me the full song, but it was only playing once I published like a little 30-second snippet, y'all. So I was very sad and disheartened. I was working on it for like 2 days, from like Thursday to Saturday of last week. So that's why I didn't come out with the podcast. I'm gonna be doing it on a weekly basis, you know what I'm saying? Roughly. I'm in the house. I really don't, like, I don't even have no excuses. I can't even be like, oh, I was busy doing arts and crafts. Like, I can't even, I've been coloring and on my phone too much. So I will do that. But yo, that broke my heart. Like, I was in here, I was like downloading sounds and like just thinking about the, like, imagine, man, look, I'm not even about to talk about it no more. We're moving on. Okay, so now we're on episode 2. Welcome to wait, where was I? A podcast about stuff, here with your girl crush. Broadcast, yes, still from my closet. We are all still in quarantine. We are still here, at least in Oregon. Yeah, so just back here with episode 2. One thing that I saw about my format that I needed to work on was that I had just wrote a bunch of super random ass stuff on that page, pulling randomness for my random brain. Had me, I was like reading over it, like, there's a number of things here that I'm not gonna mess with. So I took a little more time, didn't really think, tried not to think about whatever, any of these particular subjects too long, so that it could just be fresh when I'm talking about it. But I actually kind of like took my time to make some topics that, like, I'll probably be cool with talking about at any given time. So yeah, I've been really thinking about some different things that I'm going to do on here. I've now discovered from after doing my first podcast that I can do it in segments. So I'm going to have different segments on the show. I'm going to have segments where I bring guests on to come and talk about subjects with me. Maybe even perhaps get some experts on, if I'm able to. People are home, okay? Professors and blah, blah, blahs and whoop-de-woos. They're all at home right now, most of them. So I probably could get some interviews popping with some professional people talking about any one of these subjects I'm talking about. So I'm excited, okay? I've moved on from the music show. I'm going to, on my own, figure out how to do that on a different platform. That ain't even what this was supposed to be anyway. So here we go. Without further ado, you know what I'm saying? First of all, thank you for coming. Please subscribe. Please. I don't have any social medias for this yet. I'll get them. I don't do social media much, okay? So I'm sorry. I'll get some. but just please subscribe to me here on Anchor or on Spotify or on Google Podcasts or on Overcast or any of the other places where they have the Wait, Where Was I podcast. Okay, so we are going to spin this book right now so we can get right into it. Okay, I got my book right here. So I'm going to spin it up here so I can just see what we're going to talk about. All right. Okay. Drum roll. Okay. What did we land on? Oh, man. Natural hair. Okay. I love and also despise this topic. I love my hair. I have natural hair. My hair is thick and it's a lot of it. It's beautiful. But it is such a hassle. I went natural. First of all, okay, so again, born in 85. Okay, so if you was an 80s baby or you was a 90s baby, chances are that you had a perm put in your head. Like at some point. Because we all did. You know what I'm saying? You had your braids, you had your this, you had your that, and you probably had your hair permed. Because it was the way that we knew to keep our hair the most manageable. Like, that's just what it was. We used, you know what I'm saying, pink oil lotion. I can't tell you the last time I had some of that in my house. You know what I'm saying? I'm much more likely to just put some olive oil, you know? So we did things very, very different with our hair. So by the time that I was grown, you know, when I was probably about, I don't know, 25, 26, I was kind of on some, like, my hair is not healthy. I never really wore, like, a lot of weaves or anything like that. So, like, as far as, like, edges and stuff like that, I was pretty cool. But I did use heat products on my hair basically every single day. Pretty much every single day. I mean, especially if I was going somewhere, maybe if I was just in the house, I would have it just wrapped up. Or maybe up in a ponytail, possibly. But I wouldn't even super always have it in ponytails even, because I didn't want to have the dent in my hair and have to bump that out. So typically, I for real was just putting heat on my hair on a daily basis. It's crazy to even think about now. Just with the minimalism that I have with my hair now, it's just so crazy to think that there was a point when I was really like... And I know that I shared that with many other women around me, of taking that much time to do your hair and putting that heat on your hair every day. That's just what it was, you know. And I had stopped putting perms in them, and then I put one in. And I mean, it's like, you know, you can stop for a year without putting perms, and then the next perm you put in, now your hair permed, you know. No way to unperm it. So I had stopped putting the perms in for like probably 2 years, maybe. So it was more than that. It was like 3 years. So my hair that was like unpermed natural hair had got like down to like my neck. But then I still had like these scraggly mop strings hanging at the end of this, like, so it's like this rich, like, you know, at that point it wasn't even remotely in as good of a condition as it is now, so it wasn't all wavy and all that stuff, but it was a nice, you know, firm afro thing going on. And then I just had these just crazy mangly, you know, just Lady and the Tramp trampy strings hanging down off the end of it. Like, I would try to do natural styles, and like some of them would look okay, but most of them would look crazy because I just had all that permed hair. I didn't want to cut my hair was the problem. I didn't want to cut my hair. And my mom has showed me how to take, like, not rubber bands and not the thicker like ponytail holders, but the like thin ones that are the same size as the ponytail holders, like the real thin ones. Take that and then put the two strand twists in my hair, and then because my ends were permed, they wouldn't curl, so I had to take that like little rubber band thing and twist it like down the length of my hair so that it would put crimps in it, and then when I would take it down, then it would be crimpy not necessarily curly, but it would give it the type of look of like it was supposed to be because I use those things. So I was holding on to that hair, and I cut it off when it was at my natural hair was at the nape of my neck. And then I've just kind of kept it since then. So I don't even know how long my hair is right now. I was supposed to straighten it, and I just, man, y'all, it's so thick. Y'all don't understand. And I know everybody thinking of something about thick hair in their mind. Any women are like, yeah, thick. And I just said that, and you thought about something, it's probably thicker than that. Whatever you thinking, it's probably thicker than that. It's crazy. And I love my hair. I really do. I love having my hair. I think the main problem that I have is that I'm a super low maintenance person. Okay. I'm super chill. I mean, there was a point when I was like doing all this extra stuff on a daily basis, but at this point in the game, like, I am chill. And having natural hair, really kind of maintaining it properly, really requires you to not be quite so low maintenance. Like, there's protective styles and stuff that I can do, obviously. But man, I really just wish that I could just have a hairdresser lived with me who could just take care of it all the time. I love when it's done and when it's all moisturized all right. I got it in these like 2-strand twists right now, and they're, I mean, they all right, but I need to do something. And I've been saying that for about 3 days now. So it's definitely a struggle for me, for sure. And I think that anybody who kind of goes on this experiences that as well. I know that I've had family or people that I see on Facebook or something that are like, man, I'm about to go. I've been thinking about getting a perm. I'm like, no. But even while I'm saying no, I'm like, damn, I really don't want to do my hair. My mom braids hair, and she just will not do it for me. But I do love that I have it. And I love that we have shifted back into a mind frame of really taking a focus on our hair and how it is naturally supposed to be. And this is even to people who wear weaves. Now, sometimes a weave will kind of tear around your edges, so you got to be careful with that. But a lot of times when somebody has a weave and wears a weave, a lot of the time they got some thick, nice hair up under there now because they know what to do with it in between, right? So because, I mean, I grew up thinking that in my mind, I'm not supposed to even get my hair wet. I ain't supposed to get my hair wet. Like, I need to do whatever I can to avoid getting my hair wet. You know what I'm saying? I'm wearing a shower cap in the shower. I'm trying to, you know, my head's sweating too much. I'm trying to cool it off because I don't want to sweat out my, you know what I'm saying? So I really grew up in a mind frame that my hair can't get wet. Well, guess what? Our hair loves moisture. It love getting wet. Oh my God, that's his favorite thing. It's like, woo, let me dive in. Give me that moisture. Give me that Cantu. Spray some water, girl. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Not only condition it, but leave some conditioner in, okay? Give me all the oils. Find the oil that's best for me. You know what I'm saying? Your hair loves to be moisturized. And it's just so crazy that we were duped into thinking that our hair didn't want to be wet when that's all it wanted to be this whole time. And I'm really glad that we have gotten to a place where we understand that, because now it's not just necessarily that you wearing a weave because you ain't got no hair. It's no, I want to protect my hair, so I have it in here. I'm wearing these braids because I want my hair to just sit. That's why I had braids in. I just took them out. And when I took them out, I mean, I'm up here in Portland. So, I mean, the humidity today is probably like 50% or more. Matter of fact, let me see. Do they got it on here? Oh, looking on my my watch, it probably got the humidity that it is. Nope, it doesn't, but I mean, it's probably like 50%, okay? So it's pretty moist here. I've seen it like 81%. So it can get, it's very, very moist in the air here. So I can be a little more lax on my hair than maybe I would have to be like when I lived in Colorado. Because Colorado is dry, and the environment that you're in can really change your natural hair experience too. Because everything about being in Colorado, which if you've never been in Colorado or don't know about Colorado's climate, it is extremely dry. It's like sap the life out of everything dry. It's so dry. So having natural hair, which relies on moisture to kind of behave correctly and be satisfied, being somewhere where it's dry like that is the opposite of what you need. So everything about what you do for hair care there, for me at least, because my hair is already just kind of dry, but everything was about intensive. Every moisturizer I'm getting, which I try to get stuff that's for dry hair anyway, just because why not? It's extra moisturizer, extra strength. That's what I'm rocking with. But everything, you know, I'm trying to get the most moisture in my shampoo and my conditioner and all these levels, because it's always like combating the super dryness that's just trying to suck all the life out of my hair. So man, having it there is ridiculous, but here ain't much better, just because like I said, I'm just low maintenance and it adds so much of me. I'm gonna try to see, I don't know what she's doing today, so I'm going to have to, after this segment, reach out to her and see. But I'm going to try to reach out to my mom. I think this is a really good topic for her to be a guest on, because my mom is really the inspiration that had me to get my hair natural and really helped me to find products. That's a big part of the natural hair journey as well, is really making sure that you know the products that work for your hair, because everything my mom used, I can't use. Everything I use, she can't use. Same with my sister and whoever else, because you got your own stuff going on, your own hair type, your own, you know, how much water are you drinking? You know what I mean? Are you taking vitamins? Are you know? So everybody's got different things going on with the condition that their hair is going to be in. Where do you live? What I might be doing for somebody who has hair just like mine here in Portland is not necessarily going to work for somebody in Colorado, because they're going to need a little bit more. Okay. Their hair is a little bit more thirsty than mine. So that's really super important as well. And she really was the one who, she was always trying to get me to have my hair natural. And I'm just like, it ain't for me. I ain't wearing no afros. No, it ain't for me for the longest time. And she got dreads in like 03, either 03 or 04. I believe 03. I can't quite remember, but I think 2003 was when when she got those sister locks for the first time. And then she had them for a while. I actually helped her take them down. I helped her like take them down lock by lock, so that she still had hair and she didn't have to like cut all her hair off and be like bald for a minute. And it took us like 19 days. I was going back and forth from Colorado Springs to Denver, where they lived, helping take my mom's hair down, like strand by strand, like with a little needle into the bottom, going from the bottom of the dread all the way up. Like each lock literally took, and I'm saying dread, I apologize, lock, but each lock took like an hour or more. I mean, like it was such a crazy process, but we were able to do that. But even then, even after she did that, she got a Brazilian blowout, I think, and which isn't a perm, is using keratin and whatever else, but she got that. But other than that, like her hair's been natural this whole just forever, and she knows way more than I do. So I'm probably gonna see what she's doing and try to get her on a segment too, just to talk about her natural hair journey, and you know, just what she's gone through with trying to deal with that. And I know that she's kind of at a point now, she has some micros actually in her hair right now, because I know she was just at a point where she was like, I don't want to touch it no more. I think we all just get like that, you know what I'm saying? I think I know sometimes I feel bad. Sometimes I'm like, dang, I should be grateful. You know what I'm saying? I should be grateful that I have this hair and that I have, you know what I'm saying, the means to do something with it. But I just, sometimes I'll be tired of it. I think about washing it and I'm like, oh, and I got to get it wet and it's dripping everywhere and it's so much hair. And I'm trying to, like I said, I don't know how long it is right now and I need to trim it. So I'm going to straighten my hair or at least blow it out. And that I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, man, I'm pretty sure I might have broke my dang on. I think I might have broke the little attachment that goes on the dryer with the little comb. Pretty sure I broke that shit. I'm almost positive the last time I was trying to do it because my hair is thick, y'all. It's crazy, man. I wish my mom would just let me pay her to do my hair. It makes me so sad. She's so good. If anybody done got their hair braided by Sunday, they already know. She is like the queen of it, and I would just love it if she would do it. Yeah, I think we're gonna pause real quick. I'm actually gonna go see if I can get a hold of her and bring her on for another segment so me and her can go back and forth and talk about it. Make sure that, again, you subscribe. Also, send me a voice message or leave me a comment. Let me know if you're listening and you're on your own natural hair journey or thinking about it or have a funny story or whatever. Send me a voice message or leave me a comment to let me know. And we'll be back in a bit. Welcome back. As promised, I have went and got my mom because, like I said, she is the reason why I even was doing anything about any natural hair. So without further ado, I will introduce Miss Sunday. Hi, Mommy.
Hi, Lanisha.
Oh, crush. See, my mom really trying to, I'm going to bleep that out.
Okay, let's do that again.
I'm going to cut it and put a little boop. I got the sound in my pack.
Oh my god. Okay. What's up, my oldest child crush?
What's happening? And thank you so much. You're my first guest, obviously, as you know. So thank you so much for being my first guest.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So like I said, I spun the book and it landed on natural hair. You know my struggle with my natural hair. So in the first part, yeah, I just kind of gave a summary of just like, you know, like a little brief thing from my hair from, you know, when I first started not perming it, but then I didn't want to cut it. So I had all that crazy hair on the end, little mop strings hanging. And then when we cut it, and then from there forward, and just sort of doing like a quick clip of your hair journey and kind of how that inspired me from when you first got your sister locks and forward and us taking down your locks and everything. So the first
question. Oh, you done went through everything.
Oh, I've seen everything, but just kind of like bloop, bloop, bloop. You know what I mean? Okay. Just like the big events. Okay. But oh, the first question that I just wanted to ask, because I just kind of gave it from my perspective, like for you, but what actually started you? What would you say is the thing that really started you and made you want to get involved with your hair that way and start on your natural hair journey?
Let's see, I'm going to have to rewind it back. As a kid, you know, I had some hair struggles being the, you know, I was like the nappy-headed kid in the family.
Yeah.
you know, my hair was kind of, it wasn't really the bane of my existence, but it was kind of the bane of my mother's existence. She just was like not feeling my super kinky hair, and my sister's hair was completely different. So basically, when I got older, I just, you know, I said, you know what? I need to get in a place where I love my hair. And so back in like 97, I believe it was, 97, 98 is when I first like cut it off. And Nisha, oh, crush. If you recall, I cut my hair off at a point when we were on Saint Vrain. You can beat that out if you need to. So when we were on Saint Vrain, I just wanted to embrace my hair. I wanted to learn to. I was, I think that was I was a young adult, and I was just wanting to embrace all the things about myself that I didn't particularly like, definitely not love about myself. And so that was kind of, excuse me, the beginning of that, of this journey that, that I'm on. And it started with my hair. So I cut it, and that wasn't like a big thing to do at that time, 1997. There were no YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff. So that stuff was mad crunchy and mad hard to do stuff with. I didn't know what to do with it. I did the best I could. And then eventually, I got another perm. And then so that's the reason why, that's how my journey really started. That journey, has gotten me to this place in my life where, I love my hair. I love, a lot of, things about myself. Most things about myself I love. And the beginning of the love journey.
And see, and I, for me, I, because all of that resonates with me, because I was there while you were doing it, watching you sort of transition from, back in the day when we was always just constantly putting heat on our hair and everything. I talked about that in the first segment, that it's crazy to think back. And there was a time when I literally would hardly even put my hair in a ponytail because I didn't want to get the dent in it, because I was putting heat on my hair every single day, and I would need to have to bump that out of my head. And just that really get into a place where, first of all, I even just accepted what you were talking about doing my hair natural, because I was always saying I didn't want to wear no afro.
And you did give me a hard time, boy.
I did. I did, y'all. Like,
Yeah,
that's
you did.
serious. I was, and that really, for me, I just really think that stems from what I had in my head from a kid about what my hair was supposed to be like, based on how I grew up. You know what I mean? And what was going on with hair when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, just for me,
Me, that's exactly what I
JUSTIFORME.
that's exactly what came to my head. And then also, I mean, the daunting idea of having to do something to your hair that you've never done before. So I think, nowadays it's super easy. To do a lot of things. It's easy to homeschool. I mean, other than, with the current, pandemic quarantine situation, even before that, it was really easy if you want to homeschool your child. Whereas back in the day when I did it, there wasn't as much stuff available. The school districts were fighting people against it instead of, what I'm saying? So same thing with hair. There was no YouTube. There was nowhere to go and find people with hair like yours. And there was no products the way the products are on the shelves now for, all this natural hair. The products were for permed hair or for white hair. So, yeah, I mean,
Because
you
I was
had grease
talking about, oh yeah, I was talking about pink oil moisturizer.
and pink oil moisturizer, right? And, if you use those things, there's nothing necessarily wrong with them, but they weren't really originally made for people with natural hair. You know what I mean? And I don't know if they've changed stuff, because I know I was watching a you well, I wasn't really watching her video, but I saw a girl in a clip where she was and she had natural hair, and she was using stuff like the pink oil moisturizer line. I don't think there was a line back then, but anyway, she was using the line on her natural hair, so maybe there is a a line for natural hair now. But back then it was so greasy, and I tried to use it, back in the day, and it just didn't hold the moisture in. But then we didn't know anything about the science about hair
Right.
and, the cuticles. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you coming out the box now, you know what I'm saying?
You're
You can get on a
equipped.
YouTube video and yeah, you can just go natural. You can either transition. You got people who transition, like, similar to what you did.
Yeah.
And then you have people who just, do the big chop. You know, so there's all kinds of ways to do it. There's all kinds of information out there, and I love it because it's all about taking care of what you got. And it's cool if you wear protective styles. I wear wigs from time to time. I don't change them up every day. I get one that I like, and I want people to see me like that. That's just
Right.
my personal preference.
Right.
Of course, I do. I braid, I do box braids and individuals and whatever, those kind of styles, passion twists and stuff like that on my hair. But at the end of the day, that's not the wig or weave, or even the braids, that's not my hair. So I, no matter what I'm doing, as far as protective styling, I always want to make sure that my hair, first and foremost, is healthy and taken care of. And I always, suggest the same thing to people, because I know people who wear weaves and wigs, and their hair is not healthy underneath there. So
Right.
it's okay to wear protective styles. I mean, especially as, Black women, we love change.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
I love change. I love changing. I love color and all that kind of stuff. And that's not the kind of thing I'm trying to do with my hair. I love all of that. But basically, the best thing to do is, to make sure your hair is taken care of. And it's easy to, I wouldn't say it's easy. I mean, I say easy.
Yeah, because that was about to be my next piece, because I was going to say one piece on what you were just saying was that was something I said, is that and some people do have hair that they don't have taken care of under there, but some women now got some luscious, long,
Yes.
thick stuff up under there that be down they back
Yes.
when they take that hair down, because like I said, now they know what to do in between,
Right.
They know how to properly condition and what products to use to have it sitting in there, and how to manage and handle their hair carefully and with delicacy, while they're in between doing their weaves, and just how good that is. And the next part that I was going to go to is, we're talking about obviously the good things about having natural hair and, just having that confidence in yourself and being able to manage your hair. But what would you say? Because I have an idea in my mind, but what would you say is the hardest part about having natural hair?
I would say for my, I can't speak for everybody's, hair and hair type and 4B and 3A and, but
Right.
I can speak for mine, which my hair is a kinkier texture of 4C, which is the kinkiest texture. And I would say trying to keep my hair moisturized.
Yeah.
It's very difficult
Yeah.
for my particular type of hair to stay moisturized. And I buy the best, stuff there is, and a lot of stuff feel good when it go on, my oil and all that kind of stuff. But I just like really have a very dry type of hair.
Yeah.
And it'll be moist and jujuicy, when I throw it up in a puff, or plop it out in an afro or whatever. But man, halfway through the day, first of all, I don't even want to touch it, because I don't want to disrupt anything, because I already know just the air has sucked the juice up out of it. So I don't want to manipulate it or go trying to twirl on nothing.
For
No, leave it
real.
alone. And then by the time I go to twist it back up, this for me with my particular hair, there really isn't any way for me to kind of, people do like pineapples, God bless them, pineapples and all that stuff. Man, if I do a pineapple, my hair would feel like the top of that pineapple, a real pineapple, when I wake up in the morning. Like, I literally need Right,
For real, though.
the whole pineapple. I mean, that's my, my hair would, and it can be like super, Kool-Aid juicy when I, plop it out. But boy, by that afternoon, evening time, I'm gonna need to rejuicify it, and my hair is just, so I have some challenges with that, but it does not stop me from loving my hair. It does not stop me from, wanting to do the best for my hair. I mean,
Right.
I just keep moving on. But yeah, I would say for
Yeah.
myself, and that, there's a lot of products out there, and I have lived in different regions over the years. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it's like my hair does different in different seasons and
Yeah.
different regions. So although I'm in, the state of Oregon, I will have to put different things on my hair, different things on my hair in the winter than I do in the spring, and then different, for the summer than I do in the spring and winter, and so forth. So, but that's the same way. I don't know if it's like that for everybody, but it's the same way for me. Even with my skincare, I use a different moisturizer when, in the winter time and stuff like
Yeah,
that. So.
I feel like that's the same for everybody, and I definitely feel
Okay.
that same way. Yeah, for sure. I said something about that even what I would do with my hair and how I would handle my hair in Colorado is totally different than what I do here. There is a completely different atmosphere going on up here. There
It
is
is
so much
juicier here,
moisture.
though.
Oh
Yeah.
man, it's some moisture in the air. I can feel
It's
it
some
right
de yeah,
now.
it's some moisture in the air, but I'm telling you where there's some real moisture, man. When I go to Los Angeles, California, when I go home, boy,
Yeah.
my hair be juicy there, but I'm not
Yeah.
moving there.
No. Costs too doggone much. So, what I would personally say is probably the hardest part of having natural hair is just the amount of maintenance that's needed. I talked about how low, mom. Like, I am a low maintenance person. I'm not trying to be doing a whole bunch of extra. Nothing, even though I'm super extra, but I'm not trying to do a bunch of extra stuff. And having natural hair really does require your attention in a way that sometimes I really find it hard to give. All the time.
Right, that's
All
true.
the time. I really struggle with that. I want my hair to be nice and moisturized and taken care of. I'm appreciative of the hair that I have and the condition that it's in, but I really struggle sometimes with making time for my hair and really like buckling down, getting on a schedule with it or something like that. It's so hard for me to do. I just be wanting to put away. I was talking in the first segment, I was saying how I wish you would do my hair.
I know, but I gotta do my own hair. Shoot, I ain't doing no grown folk hair.
She refuses. She does it the best though. I put my own braids in and they were okay, y'all. Like I'm telling you, like they was all right. You know what I'm saying? But they wasn't fantastic. Like they were enough for a couple of selfies, but not more than a week or so. You know what I'm saying? Like they were not right. Oh, y'all, I
I
just be wanting
know.
to do my hair, but it's all good. Now I do want to bring up something because we kind of keep touching on it a little bit, but I want to kind of elaborate more on that about even just between me and you from our childhoods, the differences in what we saw in terms of black hair and black women's hair specifically as kids. Like what when you were a kid, what was it that you were seeing in around you and on TV and in magazines and stuff like that?
Well, I grew up in the 70s, so everybody had a big old afro. Everything was natural. And then we went from the afros, excuse me, to Jerry curls, So, and then we went from Jerry curls. I guess we kind of had the, we also had like, long braids and stuff like that. But like Diana Ross, like she had real big hair, but it wasn't 3C. It wasn't faux. I mean, well, it might have been faux A, but You know, she had a big, it was basically just a big softer
Right, just
afro,
big pillowy
you know,
afro.
big pillowy
Yeah.
afro. So I mean, it was all about, I mean, 70s was all about, you know, because they was coming out of the 60s, you know what I'm saying? And so the 70s was, you know, fists up in the sky, Black Panther, love your blackness, you wear your cheeky. So, you know, everybody had afros when I was growing up. Oh, cornrows, beads, you know, French braids, whichever you call them. But you know, French braids, you know, lots of beads, wooden beads, colorful
All the
beads,
beads.
you know, all the beads. So, you know, then, you know, it just went from that, you know, went from the afro to the Jerry curls to the, you know, just and on from there, it was just chemicals. And then, you know, I can't remember exactly how old I was when I got my first perm, but I was a little kid, and it was a perm, one of the first perms made for little girls. It wasn't just for me. I don't know what it was in the 70s, but anyway, my mom put that on my hair, and yeah, it was just chemicals on from there, and I just struggled with my hair, man. When
Yeah.
I just struggled with it. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So I was happy to go on to greater pastures with just kind of getting a place where I could love it and, you know, do things with it on my own.
Yeah. And see, when I
Yeah.
was a kid, it was, I did not grow up in the 70s. I mostly grew up in the 90s. And, you know, like I said, everything was part, everybody here was fried, dyed, and laid to the side. Okay, now. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about the 90s is how everybody's hair was just like laid crazy, just in them,
Oh,
you know,
and
them
my
crazy
hair was
cuts.
laid in the 90s.
Huh?
Yep. I said, and my hair was laid in the
My
90s. Oh,
mom, let me
shoot.
tell y'all, that my mom's hair stayed laid in the 90s. Like
Yes.
any picture that you pull up right now, which I have them, I got a bunch of them. I got all the little photo albums. Any picture that you pull up right now, my mom, at any random point, she, even if she just in some little pajamas, she got them curls in
Yeah.
her head. For
I had that
reals.
fade, you
Yes.
know.
Yes. So
With the shaved
that's
clothes.
what I grew up with. That's what I grew up with, was everybody really having that, always putting that heat, just always doing too much to your head. But it, as a
Yeah.
kid, you know, and all of us, I talked about that in the first segment too, that we really got duped. Like I thought that's what I needed to do to my hair for it to be right. You know, I think I was probably, I'm trying to remember the first time I got a perm, because I was probably maybe 12. And that's just like, it's like a rite of passage. It used to be. It ain't now. It
Right.
ain't now, but it used to be like a rite of
Yeah, getting
passage.
your first, yeah, getting your first
Getting your
perm.
first perm and getting that first perm, having your head burn that first time. You know what I'm saying? Going through that whole thing and then coming out silky, going to school, looking all silky down your back.
Fresh.
Yeah. You know, not even thinking at all about the ramifications of what I'm really doing to my hair, because now I'm going to go every day and also put heat on it. And you know, that was just how it was. And yeah,
Right.
so that was pretty much all that I saw. And really, natural hair did not start being a thing. Now, my sister had locks, my little sister Ray Ray, she had locks, and my mom had locks later. But
2004 is when we got locks. Yeah. 2004 is when we got locks.
Okay. See, I couldn't remember if it was 03 or 04. So it was 04 when you guys got that. And when you guys got that, it was not in fashion at the time.
No, it wasn't. And people had something, they had something to say about how I always lead the pack.
Yeah.
You know, people got had something to say about homeschooling when I did that. People had something to say about the locks. My grandmother called them pickaninnies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she just was like, "Why you got your hair like
Yeah.
that?" You know, and now, you know, everybody doing it, and it's, you know, it's a thing. You know, obviously majority rules, so now it's okay.
Right.
But you know, I learned not to care about what people think. It's my
Yeah.
leg on
I
here, and
just,
I'm gonna do what I want to do
I,
to it.
you know, and that's one thing I even had to do, even up here in Oregon, because, you know, if you've never been up to Oregon, it is It is very Caucasian, as I'm sure I'll probably mention at some other time. It's very, very, very white. Very, very white, overwhelmingly at times. And, you know, I think that somebody might be feel compelled here to have their hair or do something some type of way because of that. And I just swing all the way left on it. I just go out with the kinkiest, whatever I can have going on, just trying to be confident in that, because I really do feel like my hair, our hair is a statement, and especially in a place like this, you know, where it's not a lot of us. So I really feel like it's even more important for me to really just be what I am, and in terms of my, you know, my hair or whatever the case may be, and really just do that. What's one thing that you have always wanted to do to your hair, but you never did? Because it's like, I'm talking post-natural, like something, or not even post-natural, just something that you've always wanted to do and either didn't do because you're worried about the damage, you're worried about this or that or the other. What's one thing you've always wanted to do to your hair, but you never did?
I can say that I have done everything, but what I don't do on my hair anymore is put color in it because it's so damaging, especially to my, I have 4C hair, but my strands are very fine. And so I don't need anything that's going to break down, what I'm saying, the texture of my hair. I need to, either use natural things, which I've already decided that no more. I'm gonna just use henna from now on, and whatever color I get from the henna is what I'm gonna have, because I did henna several times throughout, the years, and but I just stopped because I started using a dye that I really like. It at least lifted the lifted and got the color in my hair, which is the Shea Moisture dye, and I think you said you don't even see it on the market anymore.
Yeah, I can hardly find it. Like, I don't know what's going on with it.
But that still, in the end, it just dries out. It makes my hair even more dry. So I noticed that, I still have a little bit of color left on the very ends of my hair, maybe the last 2 inches of my hair. My hair is probably 14 inches long or something like that.
Yeah.
So the last couple of inches,
A crop.
I just can't cut them off, man. I can't do it. So,
Yeah.
but I trim it a lot. I trim my hair a lot though. So I'm just steadily
Yeah.
trimming it, trimming it, trimming it, getting out of there. But I would say that is something that I love. I love color. So now I just use hair, and if I get I only wear human hair wigs,
Right.
so if I want to either have the company color them or I can color them, which I have done on many occasions, and then I also obviously synthetic hair for passion twists or just regular kinkalon type hair or kinky type rasta hair or whatever you want to call it. Or what is that, Marley hair, whatever. All the hair comes in a myriad of colors, so I can get color without having to mess with my actual personal hair. So
Right. And that's so I'm about to color my hair, y'all. And so it's funny that you even just brought that up, because that's what I've always done. Is, you know, I've had colored hair since in high school, when I had to do my little cornrows in the red and in the yellow or whatever we did them in.
Right.
So I've always put a little color in my hair. Even whenever I get my braids, I always get burgundy 3B or 1B. What is it? 1B? Burgundy 1B, just to have a little color in there. And I've used cellophanes. I've used the jazzing hair color. I'm sure a lot of y'all know about that, in a little pink bottle, the cherry cola color. I've used that many a times, and it hardly shows up on my hair, and so I really don't even mess with it anymore. It's too much of a hassle for not enough benefit. And so I am about to color my hair, which I'm really gonna try to be smart about what I'm doing, but that's something that I've actually always wanted to do, And I was always so worried about coloring my hair and what the consequences would be of that. And I don't want all my hair to fall out. So I'm really going to try to be smart about it, really make sure that I have the right product that I can moisturize my hair and condition my hair and get it in a good place before I even put the conditioner on. I mean, put the hair dye on there. But it is a risk. It is a risk because, and I've never ever, ever colored my hair in all my 34 years. I've never, ever, ever colored it. The most I've ever done is that cellophane. So yeah, what do you think about my choice to color my hair, Mom?
Well, considering, you know, the type of hair, I mean, now, you know, anybody will tell you that coloring your hair is going to be damaging,
right?
But how much damage is going to be? I don't think, well,
because my hair is in such a good place right now. It is. It really
is.
It is
in a good place. But, you know, as you have already said, you don't like the maintenance that comes with your hair. And you're able, because your hair is in such a great place, you're able to get away with doing what you do.
Right.
When you color it, that's going to be another situation and another story.
Right. See, and guys, this is another part of the natural hair journey, is being concerned, because one of my main concerns is messing up my curl pattern. And then when I go to put my hair in twists or go to do whatever to my hair, it's not going to look right because I've damaged it chemically. And I really just have to sort of,
At some point, you're going to have to trim it. Everybody who puts color in their hair, natural or not, you're going to have to trim it, because your ends can, you know, your ends, as everybody knows who is natural, your ends is the oldest part of your hair.
Right.
It's the most fragile.
Right.
Da, 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 da. It's the old story now, you know, with YouTube, you know, on deck. So, you know, you're going to have to trim it, because that old hair on the ends, the stuff that you're trying to hold on to give yourself length, it just cannot handle all of that.
Right.
Now, it's pretty, and your hair can still grow long. I think that your hair, even though you would have to trim it, the type of hair that you have, if you take care of it, you know, make sure you get your deep conditionings in,
right,
at least a couple times a month, and, you know, maybe wash it once a week, once every couple of weeks.
Ooh, that's the struggle,
but
you don't want
to keep it in a dry state, because the dye is already going to dry your hair up, you know, not dry it up, but it's going to be drier. You know, so for me, it makes my hair super dry, because my hair is already super dry.
Right.
So, you know, depending on how your hair holds on to moisture and da da da, what type, you know, what you know, how your hair is, you know, what place your hair is at, you know, is just know that it's going to be a little less of, you know, that once you put the dye in.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's not a bad thing, because you have nice thick hair.
Yeah. We'll see. Because I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to prep my hair first. But even before, because it's still not going to be here for a couple weeks. You know, Amazon, y'all, they got that priority stuff on. So I got to wait till like May to get my hair dyed. But I'm going to do it because I just want to. and I got all this hair,
sure,
and I want to do it. And I just want to at least do it one time. I want to leave this earth and I never dyed my doggone hair. That sounds crazy. Okay, well, the last question, Mom, is what, mm-hmm, of everything about natural hair and the struggles and the whatever, what is just the thing that you just love the most about it, that just warms your heart about it?
It's the hair that God gave me, and at this point in my life, whether it's dry and crunchy or juicy as a cup of Kool-Aid, I love my hair.
Yeah.
I love my hair.
I agree.
I love it.
I feel very blessed to have this hair. I think it's the most magical hair on the planet.
It is.
I think that there is nothing like it. It can go into any type of whatever you need it to do. This hair is magic. And I feel very, very blessed to be able to have it and just to have it on my head, growing up on my head, able to do what I want with it. I really do feel blessed.
Right.
And I'm glad, I feel blessed that you got ahead of the game so much so that by the time that I was ready to do it, you like already had game on lock and like already knew what I needed to be able to get my hair right, you know? Because, boy, I'm telling y'all, I was holding on to that permed hair, y'all. My mom was giving me, helping me figure out ways to work with it, but it was looking crazy, y'all. I was tripping. Okay, well, mommy, I want to thank you so much for being my first guest.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to say?
I did want to say this. You know, you said about, you know, you don't want to leave this earth without, you know, dyeing your hair, you know, regardless of, you know, the outcome, if you need to trim it or whatever. Yeah. And I'll say this, back in the day when I used to be get my hair cut so short, they had to curl my hair with curling irons that was like the size of rice.
Yeah.
I mean, my stuff used to be laid, okay, fried, dyed, and laid to the
okay.
side. So, and I used to wear them little Toni Braxton, the tiny bang and all of that.
Yep.
And people used to be like, man, your hair is so thick and beautiful. Why, you know, why do you cut it off? Because guess what? It's going to grow back.
Right.
It's hair.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying to you. If you want to do that, if you want to make your hair rainbow, go ahead and do it, because you really only get this, you know, this life to with that hair to do it. So go for it. It's just hair. It'll grow back. And if it don't grow back, they got wigs. They got wigs, weaves, man. They can do, you can get lace fronted, pull it off, sew it in. You can get whatever you need to get.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you ain't got no hair.
Hey, so, she said if I go bald, y'all, I can always get a wig. Okay. I'm doing it and I'm very excited. It's like a burgundy cut. I'm extremely excited. I'm doing it for sure. I'm just going to get my hair ready and just be smart about it. But thank you so much. And thank you for that encouragement for me to just, you know what I'm saying, take life and just do it. And I'm excited. And thank you so much for coming on. I think this came out so good. And I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to take another break real quick, and then I'll be back for our final segment. See you in a bit.
Hello and welcome back yet again and for the last time. So you guys just heard my first guest on my podcast, my madre. I think that went very well, and I like hearing her perspective of it, especially now because this is hella far from when I recorded that shit. This is, we're at what month is this? The very end of June. Okay, so this is post George Floyd. Obviously, this is after that. So I just want to take a moment to say that I stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, obviously, because I am a Black life, but mostly just because it's the right thing to do, of course. Anywho, so at this point now, I've had my hair dyed for like over a month, like a month and a half, basically. I don't know. It didn't really do anything to my hair. It's pretty much the same as what it always is. And I haven't done that much more, but my hair was in really good condition beforehand. So luckily that was the case. So it wasn't too much going on. I wasn't really focused on my hair too much. We had a tragedy in my family. So, we've really just, been really focused on that. I lost my brother to gun violence, so we were really kind of focused on that, and I really have not had any sort of time to really deal with it. And again, luckily my hair was in the condition that it was in ahead of everything, because I don't know what would have happened if it wasn't. It probably would have fell right out. In listening to it, listening back over it from it feeling like I did this a year ago, I still feel the same way about it all. And, just in light of everything that's even going on, I'm like, hell yeah, I love my hair. And I'm keeping this hair because it's mine. It's mine to have. And it wasn't provided to everybody, but it was given to me. And, yeah, I love my hair. Don't
touch my hair. I was just listening to, I hope that's not like a copyright thing. I do not own the rights to that song. He'll be putting that on Facebook. I don't know if it applies here, but I was just listening to that song the other day because it just made me, I hadn't listened to it in quite some time. And I had put it on. I think I was thinking about working on this. And that's just such a beautiful song. And it really does express what it really is to us. It really is that deep. And that's why people coming and trying to pet it and shit is like, no, man. Like, you don't touch my crown, yo. Like, it is the rhythms I have found. I don't know if those are the exact, the back and forth that she does right there, but y'all get my point. Yeah, it really is that deep. And yeah, I'm blessed to be able to have done that with my mom. And I should be able to get back on a pretty regular schedule of releasing podcasts now that I'm back home and kind of settled in, able to sort of, you know, move past the situation, or not move past, but sort of move better within the situation that's going on. And yeah, so I should be able to get back on a pretty regular schedule. I think I'm actually going to do kind of a special podcast on the next one, just sort of addressing some of the things that we experienced just kind of losing someone in a pandemic. And I really think that's something that I'm going to go on, and I might get some other guests to come on and sort of share their experiences as well of what it was like, because there were some really weird things that were going on, or not weird, but just stuff that you wouldn't think that were affected and just made the process different than it would be at any other time. So, you know, just kind of going over that. I think that's probably what the next podcast is going to be about. I'm going to try to get this out in the next week, and just get myself on a regular schedule with releasing these so I can help to build this brand and bring content and bring input for you guys. Like I said, I still do plan on getting like some experts and stuff on here about different subjects that I'm talking about. So we'll see. Yeah, thank you for supporting. Please make sure to follow me on Anchor or any of the other Overcast, Google Cast, everything. Everything that anything that you're on, Spotify, to follow me on. Follow me on there. Wait, where was I? A podcast about stuff. Here with your girl crush. Please continue to be safe out there. Don't let this Rona get you. Keep yourself mindful. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. And continue to be blessed. Bye, y'all.